You're listening to the Tree of Life podcast, where we desire to be a bridge between the two covenantal peoples, physical Israel and spiritual Israel, by inspiring the non-Jewish part of Messiah's body to reconnect with its Jewish roots through biblical teaching and worshipful demonstrations, and to work toward greater understanding and reconciliation between Messiah's body and traditional Judaism. For today's message, please enjoy John Neal.
We're going to be talking about the Word and about your words and about God's Word. Sticks and stones. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you. Boy, we have been in your midst. We can go home now and be complete. But Lord, you've got your Word that you want us to hear. I know that. And Father, it's funny when I listen to the worship songs, it was almost like God knew exactly who was going to be teaching today. The words that they're saying, and then April's words as she spoke, Father, as she spoke and declared and decreed, Lord, it was like the sermon. So Father, I know you've got a purpose and a plan. Lord, I ask you to open the hearts and the minds of every man, every woman, and every child in this place and online right now. Father, those who will be listening later, Lord, forgive the sins of this man, which are many. Break down me and lift up you. Let them hear your voice, not mine. And I ask this to your glory and to your honor. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. 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 So we all know the routine. And if you're following along on the little bulletin thing, okay, for those who are, the first little thing says sticks and stones. Well, we all know what the rest of it is. Sticks and stones. Yeah, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And that's the biggest lie that ever happened. Okay? Because when you get hit by a stick or a stone, it causes a cut. It may break a bone. Okay, that does happen. Those heal. Words sometimes never heal. Words sometimes hold on forever and ever and ever. Now, that's not God's intent. But it is the way we're wired as human beings. It is the way HaSatan wants to lay into us and steal away what God had purposed and planned. God's word is really clear. Remember that God used words. Okay? And the very beginning, one of the first places we see God speaking is Genesis, right? And what does it say? Yeah, it says, let there be light. It says, in the beginning, Elohim, by the way, which is a pluralization. We'll talk about that later. The plural of God. But it says, in the beginning, God created. And it says he spoke it into existence. In the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. There is nothing that is made that is not made by him. So there's power. Power in the Word of God. We all know that. But remember how he created you. It says God created them. Male and female. I know it's kind of comical today. People are like, well, what? No, okay. That's God's word. He created male and female. Now, if you have a problem with that, come talk to me later. I'm just going to say, word of God. You're not arguing with me. You're just arguing with God, okay? Which is not a real good idea. I'm just telling you, okay? In Matthew, it says, man shall not live by bread alone. What does it live by? Man shall live by every word from the mouth of God. Words mean things to God. And God created you. He created the male and female. And what did he say? He breathed, ruach, into you. That Spirit of God into each and every one of you. And in that, he put forth the power to create. He said, I created the male and female. I created them, and he endowed us with all the virtues that God had. He gave us the same authorities and powers that God had. He gave us, bizarre as this sounds, he says, you know what? Adam, Eve, we got this thing called Earth. It's yours. Yeah. I'm giving you authority over this place called Earth. The angels were not given authority over Earth. That's kind of why Satan got a little ticked off. It's true. I mean, think about it. What did God create man and woman out of? The Earth. Now, the woman, not the Earth. Woman out of the side of Adam. Okay. Now, please don't remember it's not a rib. That's a joke, okay? That's kind of a thing. It's literally the word, it's tesla in the Hebrew, and what it literally means is side. So it literally means half of Adam became Eve. That's why we're never more together like God when we're together as one in that marriage thing. I just got done doing a marriage ceremony last Sunday, okay? And I said the same thing to them. I said, you know what? Not out of the side, in the true sense of it, not a rib, and not out of the head, because out of the head, a woman's not called to dominate man. Nor out of the feet, man's not called to dominate woman. But in half of it, that they walk together in equality. Together. Now, has God called man to be the covering of his wife? Absolutely. That's going to the Bible, real simple. But he created us that way. And in giving us that creativity, he gave us a power to speak and to create with what we speak. By the way, does anybody know the number of times God spoke in Genesis? Don't go look. I know some of you are going, I'm checking my pen. No. Okay. 12 times. 12 different times it talks about God speaking or God said. Okay. That's the entire Genesis 1 account. 12 different times. Powerful. Powerful, and then God moving forth. But they're only words, right? Because when we get this creative thing from God and you speak words, have you ever had somebody say something not nice to you? I was raised, by the way, you should know about me, I was raised Catholic, okay? I am what we call a Cathabapticostal mess. Okay, Cathabapticostal mess. I'm Catholic, became a Baptist, became Pentecostal, and now I'm Messianic. So Cathabapticostal mess. That's who I am. Okay. But that gives me a really interesting background in terms of learning and where I come from. I was raised in Lemon Grove, and Lemon Grove, that's where all the poor people used to live back in the 50s and 60s because it was the lowest rent. My parents divorced when I was 3 years old. And after my parents' divorce, I became, which was unusual in the 60s, I became the kid at school who was, oh, I know you don't have a dad. And we had a term we used for that. I won't use it right here now. It hurt. And then when my dad said to me one time, you know, life would have been so much easier if you'd never been born. Now, as an adult now, can I look back and go, okay, he had too many to drink. My dad was a bit of a drinker. Had too many to drink. You know, there's all sorts of reasons behind. I can do that. But as a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old kid, boom, it stuck. It stuck. We have to remember how important our words are. I also happen to be dyslexic. As a dyslexic person, I have trouble reading. Always have had trouble reading since I was a young child. But we didn't know that. In third grade, the teacher, my teacher, Mr. Hubbard, San Miguel Elementary School, Lemon Grove, said to his fiancée, you know, I've got this kid, he's a good kid, but he's just not very smart. He just can't really get the job done. She happened to be something which was brand new back then, which was calling a reading specialist. And she said, well, tell me about him. He told her. She said, well, you know, it sounds like he may have a reading problem. Let me. So she came in on her own time to my classroom. My mom and dad didn't even know about this. And tested me. And said, kid's dyslexic. Now, if you don't understand dyslexia, basically take every word that you have on a page and scramble all the letters. That's okay? Oh, perfect. Just take this entire thing in the beginning Elohim created, just boom, scramble all his letters. That's how it looks to my eye. My mind doesn't translate. So guess what else I got called? Stupid. Okay? And then, bizarre as it is, and none of my students and most of my family doesn't understand this now, I had a speech impediment. I talked like this. Hi there. I know, it's like, Neil, you haven't stopped talking since then. But God gave me a built-in PA system, which Victor and I used a couple weeks ago at the, when we were giving things away, okay? That's how it works, okay? But I had a speech impediment. So in addition to being the kid without a dad who was stupid, it was, hey, John, say something. Or you guys shut up. Stop it. That's how it was. That's how I grew up. And then my parents decided that, you know, the best way to handle a family situation was to argue and fight. Now, I know none of you have ever done that. And none of you ever experienced that before. But in my family, that was the norm. So then John, the stupid kid who couldn't speak, who couldn't read, became a recluse. I hid in my bedroom because it was safer there than to be out in the battleground. Okay? That's my life. That's how I grew up. Those words spoken to me, fatherless, stupid, weird speech. What a dummy. Pew, pew, pew. They became rocks inside of me. They anchored me down and told me what everyone thought I was. Now, remember the Proverbs, because when I said, but they are words, just words, Proverbs. Proverbs says, Proverbs 18, 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You speak life or you speak death always. Every time you speak, every word you say, every joke you make, every time you put yourself down, oh, I'm just stupid, I'm just dumb, I'm just ugly, I'm just fat, I got a big nose, I got funny hair, pick the thing that you have said in your lifetime. I teach high school. One thing I tell you about high school students, they're just like you and me. Oh, they're a little goofy, but they're just like you and me. Because we're all a little goofy too. Come on. You know, we are. But here's what I know. My lady's in my class. I have this beautiful blonde, and she said, Mr. Neil, I wish my hair was brunette. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. I got this redhead. Oh, I want to be a blonde. Oh, okay. I got this brunette. I don't know what I want to be, maybe purple. My hair's too curly, my hair is too straight. I'm too short, I'm too tall, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny. My ears are too big. My nose is too big. My cheeks are too big. I can go on for like 20 minutes on all the things the kids come into my classroom and tell me about themselves. But here's what they always do. They always talk about it in the context of the negative. Yeah. I'm not good enough. And you have thought that about yourself. You may have even said that about yourself. Or you may have heard that said by other people as they lay into you. And the hardest part, like when my dad said, better if you'd never been born. The hardest part is those who are supposed to love you. The ones who are supposed to protect you, to be your covering. And they're speaking that death into you. We're going to watch a video in a second. And I'm gonna, if you guys don't mind the rice picture we put up here. That's rice. Now, I'm going to show you a little video. We're not going to watch the whole video because it's a little long. I'll have you guys cut it off when I'll let you know. But the video is an experiment. And I want you to know I did this experiment in my classroom just to see if this was legit. So, can we show the video now, please?
Okay, experiments. Actually, maybe this should be called the consciousness experiment because that's what this is about. Okay, so obviously these are just little glass jars with lids, all washed up. And then here is some cooked rice. Not much, because the rest of it is in my tummy. Now, this is going in here. One spoonful in there. There they go, two little glass containers of rice. Love and hate. So I'm going to take the love, we'll stick this one. Actually, we'll stick it across the top there like that. Look. Love, hate. Every day for the next month, I'm going to love this rice. Send it some love. Just think love. And with this rice, I'm going to think hate, horrid, hate it, evil rice. That's going to be the only difference between these two identical containers of rice, apart from the word and the intention. Day three, fennel seed, still fine. The love rice, still completely fine. As is the hate rice. Nothing to report. No changes. Still no change. Day four. See you tomorrow. Okay, so this is day five. And I think you can see on the hate rice, blue mold. You can see that. It's started to mold. Day five. Day six. And you can see the mold growing there on the hate rice. Look at that. Day seven. Day eight. Day nine. The effects of thought on reality. The difference between these two pieces of rice.
You get the idea.
Yes.
Now, as I said, being a teacher, I had a class, and we were doing our class. I tried to bring life into my class. I was a businessman. I was in construction originally, was in business, ran a real estate office, 36 agents, did all that routine, and then became a teacher. That was my fifth career. And I bring that world into my teaching. I'm not an academia from 35, 40 years of being a teacher, so I bring a real world into it. So I'd say things like, if you're late, they will fire you. Here at high school, we go, how do you feel about being late? Any high school teachers, counselors, principals in the room kind of thing? Okay, a couple teachers. Yeah, it's a very strange thing. It's very strange. And I tell them the real world. I teach history. I teach econ. I teach government classes. And I teach them we are going to learn about facts, not feelings. Because feelings change. Facts do not change. Okay? Real simple. Freaks them out completely. Feelings are what we're talking about here. But we're also talking, more importantly than feelings, we're talking about spoken word. Creation, life, or death is in the tongue. Proverbs. So I did this experiment in my class one year. I took the class. I divided my class up. I said, okay, everyone's going to get their own little rice jars. I got all the rice jars for 38 students. We put the rice in there. We did it in class. Got a rice cooker. Brought it in so they all knew it was the same rice. Put it inside the containers in front of all of them. Put their names on the bottom. And then we put love or hate on one of the two jars. Now, for the next 30 days, what we did was every time the period bell rang, the kids came into class and said, get your rice. And they would walk over, they'd grab the little rice, and they'd put it on their desk, okay? And then I said, okay, class, for the next 5 minutes, love and hate. And they'd go, I love you, rice. You're the best looking rice I've ever seen in my life. I wish I could be a colonel like you. You're just amazing. I love you so much. You, I hate. You are useless. Why you call yourself rice? Why can't you be like your sister? Come on, what is your problem here? And they did that for 5 minutes. 2.5 minutes of love, 2.5 minutes of hate, time, we're bang. And then we put our rice up in the container, put it away, we're done. 30 days. 7 days into it, what you saw happen in the video was happening to every single container of rice of 38 students. We didn't have one variation. Now, I'm not telling you this is a perfect scientific, you know, experiment. But I'm telling you that 38 kids did this, and 38 kids had exactly the same results you saw here. What was the difference? What they spoke. Because God said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he spoke it into existence. He created it by his word. You create the environment that you live in. You create the family that you exist in. You create the country that you live in. You create the community. You create the church, the congregation that you live in by your words. Because God called you to be creative. He desired you to be creative. He gifted you with creativity. Now, some of you are thinking right now, you know, John, I'm just not that creative. I don't speak death into your life. You are that creative. Now, I happen to be an artist. I sculpt. If you're really bored sometime, johnneal.com. You can see my sculptures. Okay? I love to sculpt. And I'm pretty good at it. Not everyone can sculpt. I draw. Not everyone can draw. You heard the amazing musicians we have up here and the singers we have up here. You do not want to hear me sing. I make a joyful noise, but that's about it, okay? That's not one of the gifts God gave me. I'm hoping one day, you know, in the heavenly choir, whoop, it'll be really great, but until then, this is what you get, okay? Geo-astronomic chemistry, I know nothing about whatsoever. I'm ignorant of a lot of things. I'm not gifted in a lot of things, but I am gifted in many things. And every one of you is gifted in something. And don't believe the story about, well, you know, there were the servants, you know, and he gave 5 talents to this one, and 2 talents to this one, and 1 talent to that one. Well, I'm just a 1-talent person, Lord. I'm sorry. That was a story. He's given you multiple talents. Multiple talents. One of the talents he's given you is the ability to speak life into other people's lives. That's a talent. That's a gift. Because you have been around people that speak anger and hatred. You've been around teachers, bosses, family members that speak death into you. So to speak life is an amazing gift that you have been given by the Most High God. Now I want you to remember that even Satan understands the power of words. Okay? You understand that? Because what did Hasatan say? In Genesis, this is scripture number 5, Genesis 3:1. It says, now the serpent was the more cunning than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say? And the rest we all know. But you hear that. See, God spoke it. God said, this is what you're to do. Here are my rules. Here are my regulations. Here's how I expect. Because you know, I created you. And because I created you, I understand how you function, how you work, how you operate. I understand what's the best thing to go in you, the best things to come out of you. I understand that. So I'm going to create an environment that's absolutely awesome for you. But then there's that weird thing which we do not understand called free will. Because God didn't want puppets. He wanted people to love him because they loved him. Not because they had to. I would have done it differently. Just telling you, would have done it differently. You will love me, that's it. That would have been me, okay? Well, it eliminates so many troubles, right? But that would not have been true love. It wouldn't have been a true thing that God would have established. It wouldn't have been anything other than God had some puppets that he organized and put, okay, I'm going to play puppets over here. But by establishing you with his creativity, with his ability to think, create, to move, to change, he gave you the right to say, no, I won't do that. And Hasatan understood it. So what did he say? What's the first place the enemy goes to? God's word. Did God really say? And let me tell you, nothing has changed in 6,000 years. How many of you heard that last night? How many of you heard that last time you were tempted? Well, God didn't really mean that I should not do that. What he meant was, most of the time it's not a good idea, okay? And I'm sorry, not to be rude, but hey, being a married man, okay, God said one wife. Well, yeah, but maybe what he meant was one wife at home, and then if I'm out traveling, I could have like a travel wife, or it's not what he meant. One wife. When he said sex belongs inside the marriage, that's what he meant. Oh, but man, Neil, I'm from the 60s, okay? Free love, rock and roll, sex. Good. Yeah, no. That's the problem today. Because for 60 years, we bought into the lie that Hasatan said to kids my age in the 60s. Did God really say you shouldn't go or is that? And the answer is yes, God did say that. Now, I'm going to freak everybody out here a little bit because that's my nature, okay? I've got a good friend of mine, a great pastor, a rabbi knows him, and him and I disagree on this topic all the time. It's the idea of wine at communion or the service kind of thing. And I go, I'm sorry, Jesus drank wine. And I get these, historically speaking, it could have been first fruits, grapefruit, wine juice. No, it was wine. Yeah, Jesus drank wine. He turned the water into wine, okay? Now, but what does it say about drinking wine? Don't get drunk. Hey, have a glass of wine. I'm not gonna argue. I don't drink because I had a dad who was an alcoholic. I had a brother who was a drug addict, so I never did drugs. Okay? No, kind of boring from the 60s, but it's true. I never did drugs. Because I saw the destruction in my brother's life, and that destruction he brought into our home. So, the serpent wants to change you. He wants to take away. And what we call this in simple terms is identity theft. We talk about identity theft on the computer and your credit cards and all that stuff. No, this is identity theft. Because the big question always is, what does God say you are? That's right. See, because it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what the enemy says you are. It really doesn't matter what your neighbor says. And sorry, but there's a truth to this. It doesn't matter what your mommy or daddy said. It doesn't matter what your husband or wife said. It doesn't. Now, they should speak life into your life, but if they don't, that is not the definition of who you are. The definition of who you are is what Abba said. That is the definition. And what does it say in the Psalms? The Psalm says, I praise you, Psalm 139:14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. God, don't make mistakes. Well, Lord, you made me the wrong way. No, he didn't. You may have chosen to take what he gave you and use it the wrong way. You may take what he gave you and you may have injected things into it to make it different than what he gave you. But God created you the way he intended. And remember what the scripture says. He knew you while you were yet in your mother's womb. But please understand what the real word says in the Hebrew. It says he met with you. It says the creator of the universe, the king of kings, the lord of lords, the righteousness of Israel, stooped down, entered into your mother's womb, met with you. And he took a scroll and he said, Eddie, here's what I got planned for you. Here's what I want for you. Here's all the blessings that I want to pour out upon you. Eddie, I got these awesome ideas that you're going to be doing this and doing this, and here's what God's got purpose and plan. And then the enemy comes along and goes, did God really say? I mean, wait a minute, you're poor. Your skin's the wrong color. You're not educated enough. You don't have enough degrees. Pick the thing. Not pretty enough. Not tall enough. I will never play NBA. Not my gifting. Not my gifting. Not what God created me for. But we take what God established, his spoken word into us. The enemy wants to steal it, rip it off, and then we help. We help sometimes. We add to it. We add to it. I'm going to show you guys, excuse me, I have one more thing. For those who are on the note thing, I apologize. I want you to think about this. If you've got a piece of paper or you got some notes, I want you to do this. I told you what God called you, fearfully, wonderfully made, right? But I want you to think about what you've been called. Yeah, all the way back. Childhood. Neighborhood bully. Abusive parent. Abusive spouse. Abusive boss. Those who were supposed to love you who didn't. Now I'm going to ask you to be really bold, because I want to use this as we will end with this portion. Not this portion, later. I want you to write them down. And it's important you write them down. Here's why. We're going to put God's word over the top of them. But I want you to write them down because I want you to identify them. I want you to acknowledge them. I want you to grab a hold of what the enemy tried to use to destroy you. Put it right there in front of you. And if you need to, for that moment, feel that pain. Feel that ouch. It's okay. Well, my therapist said, don't talk about it. No, talk about it. Okay, we're talking to the great therapist. Okay? So, the graphic number 7 is that picture. Could you guys put the picture of the girl up there? Yeah. Been there, done that? Been there, done that? I know a young lady who's part of our group here. Known her for a few years. And what I love the most about her is when I see her dance. Because when I see her dance, this young woman, who I don't know really that well, but I know well enough, who feels maybe a little shy and a little intimidated, and maybe like, well, I'm not quite as good as some of the other people. And maybe not to, I watch her dance, and I see her face. Whew. She is dancing before the Most High God. She is taking, yeah, applaud louder. Yeah. Don't let my cough interrupt you. She is taking the gift God said, you, right here, in your mother's womb. I'm going to create you to dance. I'm going to create you to glorify me by your actions, by the way you move, by the smile on your face. We're blessed to know you. We've all had this happen. We all know how difficult it can be. Excuse me. But my question for you is, are you willing and do you want to? Let's start with a want. Do you want to change it? Yes or no? Do you want to change it? Some of you aren't sure. Some of you like it where it's at? Does anybody here want to see change? How about in your life? How about in your family? How about in your community? How about in your church? How about in your state? How about in your nation? How about in the world? Anybody? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. But first, I have a video I want you to watch. And I want you to see the visual. And I want you to hear the words to this song. One of my new favorites, Toby Mac.
Feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Broken, live or die. So speak loud. Yeah. tongue gets twisted. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Rain when you speak life with the words you say. Raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say.
To watch that video. I love it. But the scene there where the young boy is harassed by the boys, you know, and then he's got the little chalk line there thing, which I think is so beautifully graphic for us. But at the end, and I'm convinced that little girl was saying, remember who Jesus said you were. Remember who the Father said you were. But at the end there, there's a woman teaching him to read music. See, little 7-year-old, 8-year-old John, who was stupid, dumb, and would have been better if he hadn't been born, had a speech impediment and couldn't read. When I was 7, 8 years old, a woman came and she taught me how to read again. Took a little 3x5 index card. She cut a 1/4 inch by 1 inch little hole in that card. And she said, John, the problem is your brain sees the entire page and it jumbles all the letters. So take this little card and put it on one word. Now you're only looking at one word. And all of a sudden John went, oh, I can do one word at a time. I can. And then she cut the hole a little bigger, and now I was doing 2 or 3 words. And within months, I had a whole line that was covered. I could read a whole line at a time. And today, I can read. It's still difficult. I still struggle. My wife will tell you when I'm sick, sinusy, you know, weary, really tired, the dyslexia takes over again. It tries to trip back itself back into it. I say, no, you're not accepted here. You're not part of this family anymore. We're changing everything, okay? Yes. So, we're going to change things. We watched the video, and Ephesians 4:29, next scripture verse, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Amen. Ouch and amen. Ouch. Because you know how unwholesome we can be. You know how in a moment of anger, in a moment of frustration, but she didn't do it the way I wanted her to do it. My husband leaves his socks out all the time and they're unrolled. And I don't know if you've ever faced these things because you all live perfect lives. Okay? You never burn the toast or the coffee. It doesn't get made. But that never happens. But you know what I'm talking about. What does God's word say? It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Now get this. He gives us the perfect guideline. You're like, well, yeah, but I don't know what to say. Rule number one. You don't know what to say? Don't say anything. It's always a good rule. I tell my students that all the time. They're like, well, I don't know what to say. Good, then just shut up. Stop. When you know what to say, Earl Clampett, who's supposed to be here, Earl Clampett gave me something which just has, I love it, and it's haunted me since he said it. He said, John, God has been working on me. And here's how God's been working on me. Earl, I want you to pray before you speak every word. Well, you mean, I mean every word. I don't do that. But it does make me think God has a purpose and plan for every word, because every word you have creates life or death. But only speak what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, not yours. I'm going to interrupt scripture with scripture right now. Husbands, love your wife the way Christ loved the church. And he gave himself for her. Husbands in the room right now, your job is not to be the best worker in the world. Your job is not to be the best provider in the world. That's part of it. Your job is to be like Christ was to the church, to your wife. If you are blessed to have a wife, you are to give up for her. But yeah, but she doesn't like football. That's okay. Now, wives, submit to the husbands. We'll get to that another time. Yeah, but no one likes that one. But the reality is, you can change your wife. You can change your wife. How? Speak life into her. Speak life into her. I tell my young people, you guys, you young guys, you know, I got these 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds. They're like, I said, guys, you want to impress a woman? They're like, yeah. I said, it's not about your hair. It's not about what you wear. I said, here's what you do. You take a little piece of paper, and you write a little note that says, you're beautiful. You've got beautiful eyes. You fold it up, and you stick it in her book. You put it on her desk. You just hand it to her and walk away. Well, but that's so simple. Yeah, that's simple. But it's powerful. It's powerful, and it changes lives. So we are to do those things that benefit those who are listening. Remember, what is Shema? What is Shema? What is Shema? Hear, O Israel. Shema. Hear. Why? Because God spoke it. So hear it. You and God are the most powerful. And we're going to talk about this. Will we put the lion up there if you don't mind? We'll let the lion sit there for a while. Before I wrap up, I'm going to wrap up in just a few minutes. Before I wrap up, I want to do something which I promised God I would do every single time I stood behind a pulpit. To those online, to those in this room right now. And it doesn't matter if this has been your home forever. It doesn't matter if you've known, you know, Yeshua, Jesus, all your life. Well, I've been going to church since I was a little guy. That's great. That's super. As I said to one kid, he goes, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I said, oh, really? What's that mean? He goes, well, I go to church. I go, listen, have you ever been to a pumpkin patch? He said, yeah. I said, are you a pumpkin? He said, no. I said, well, dude, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Coming here doesn't make you a Messianic Jew. It's a good place to go. It's a good place to get the word. But it's more than that. It's more than that. What it is taking the words that God gave and laid forth. Because why do we believe what we believe? Now, I'm assuming there are people in here that are saved who know Yeshua has their Lord, their Savior, and I add this word master, because he is. But my question to you is, why do you believe that's true? And then you get some people go, well, you know, I have this warm feeling inside of me. Well, that could be indigestion. Okay? A warm feeling doesn't mean anything. We believe we are followers of Yeshua HaMashiach because the word says so. Amen. That is our only foundation. There is nothing else. Well, I feel really, feelings change. Facts do not change. Everyone has heard of Homer's The Iliad. The Iliad, most of you were young, you had to read The Iliad in high school or college kind of thing. If you take all of the original documents, all the original writings, now please remember, Homer did not write The Iliad. Homer was an oral storyteller. It was not written for 150 years after he died. But if you take all the writings that were done in ancient days, the original documents, as far back as they can go, which is not very many, and you were to then photocopy all of those onto an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, just to make sure we can figure this out, then you would take those pieces of paper and stack them on top of each other, okay? It would make a stack of papers about 2.5 feet tall. Okay, we get the picture? If you just were to take the originals that we have of the Old Testament, we're just going to start there. Do the same thing. All the original scraps that we have, transcribe them and put them onto a piece of paper, 8.5 by 11 sheet, and then stack them on top of each other, okay? 1.5 miles. See, my faith is not based upon a warm, fuzzy feeling. My faith is based upon facts. Scientific, sociological, educational, historical, facts. A lot of the stuff that we keep saying, well, you know, the Bible could be just fantasy, you know. Yeah, like that thing called Jericho. You understand the city of Jericho was destroyed? Remember Joshua? Oh, yeah. March. Okay, cool. It was destroyed. And now a new city of Jericho was built, but not the original side of Jericho. And so after a couple hundred years, a couple thousand years, Jericho disappeared, covered by dirt and brush and everything. And a scientist, archaeologist, excuse me, in 1904, went digging and found the original city of Jericho. And there were four cities built right on top of each other, which was the standard of the days back then. The last city he found, the entire wall was crumbled and broken down. But for thousands of years, that city was hidden under 150 feet of dirt. So everyone went, well, you know, just a story, okay? Just an analogy. Just you know, it's poetry. I'm sorry, it's historical fact. So when we stand here on the Word of God. And here's the Word of God says. It says, if you acknowledge who you are, your sin, and that you need a Savior. Book of Isaiah says, I am the Lord your God, I'm your only Savior. Only Savior. There is no other Savior but Jesus. Amen. There is no other Savior. So if you were in this position now where you're going, okay, this sounds kind of interesting, then what I want you to do right now is to look into your heart, take a big deep breath, and ask, Jesus, you who take me to the Father, I've blown it. I'm a sinner. None of us are perfect. I know that. And I'm asking you to take that sin from me because I cannot. Your blood paid for it at the cross. I acknowledge you as God. I acknowledge you as my only Savior. And I acknowledge the free payment that you gave for me at the cross on Calvary. And I acknowledge that on the third day you rose again and all of the sins and all of the things that occurred before, during, and after were broken down and thrown away. So I ask you to accept me, teach me, direct me, purpose me to be in your image because I need you. If you've prayed that way, and I want you now to take that piece of paper where I said, what did all the people say about you? What did all the people say about you? Thank you, April. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that piece of paper, and I want you to remember who God is. And let me ask a simple question. Anybody believe God? Amen. All right. We're all solid on this one. I'm glad we're on the same page here. I'd be a little worried. Okay. But here's what I want you to do. Those things that you wrote down, I'm going to read some things here. As April's just playing lightly, I'm going to just read words here. What does God say I am? God says, I am saved. God says, I am complete. These are all from Scripture. If you want a copy, I'll get it to you. God says, I am forgiven. God says, I am chosen. God says, get this, hear this, man, woman, children, I am a child of God. Wow. God says, I am friend. God says, I am justified. God says, I am free from sin. Well, yeah, but last night, I don't care. That's the enemy coming, trying to steal your identity again. Identity happens all day long. Every moment, you flip on the TV, you flip on the phone, you flip on the computer. Identity theft is there to take your soul, your spirit, your mind, and tell you you're not God's. You're the world's and you're Satan's. It is a lie from the pit of hell, and we break it now in the name of Yeshua. You are called. You are created for God's work. You are safe in Christ. You are victorious. You are not condemned. All those words spoken were condemnation. They are lies from the pit of hell. Yes. Hear God's word. Child of the Most High God. Beloved of the Father. Receive. I am well planted. I am beautiful. Yeah, even you guys. I am God's tabernacle. I am special to God. I am joyful. I am alive. I am precious to God. I am God's beloved. There are more. But here's what I want you guys to get. You have a choice to make. Your choice is simple. You live in what the Father says is true. Or you live in what the father of lies says is true. There is no alternative. It's an either or situation. You either are a child of the Most High God or you are not. God said you are beloved, so you are beloved. If you don't believe you're beloved, there's two problems here. One, you're believing the enemy, or two, you don't know God. Because the enemy has tried to lie to you since you were a child. Some of you, and trust me, some of you have gone through horrendous abuse at a level I can't even comprehend. Physically, emotionally, sexually, you've been abused. Hear this from my heart, but from the Father. That was never God's intent. The world, people, and the enemy has tried to steal what is your gift from God. In our nation today, we separate, we divide. Oh, you're this color, you're that color. Oh, you're to this, we separate. What does God want? Come together. Come together. So hear my heart. Father God, I pray for each person here right now. And Lord, I ask those who are in this room who were abused by a parent to look at me for just a moment. Just look up here if you could. And I want you to hear my heart. I'm not your father. I'm not channeling your father. But has a father. It has the representative of the Father. I ask you to forgive. To forgive the father that did the things they did to you. That was not there where they should have been there. That spoke the words that broke your heart and your spirit. That destroyed the gift that God put in you. and cause you to think I'm less than, I'm other than. Please forgive. Because in forgiving, you break the hold the enemy has to keep you down. Every sin, even the most heinous of sins is committed against you, was covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do I understand it? No. Is it easy sometimes to live it? No. But we stand upon the word of God. And his word says, you are my child. Father, bless them now to receive the fullness. Every warrior princess inside this room, every warrior inside this room, every child of God, every son, every daughter, let them hear your voice and know they are yours and you are theirs. I pray healing where healing needs to be done. I pray outreach where outreach needs to be done. I pray changes where changes need to happen. And Lord, I pray that right now you'd break the enemy's whispering of, well, yeah, that sounds easy, but it's too hard. Lord, it is simple because it's you covering it. So Father, I ask now, blessing upon each here. And Lord, I pray that this day, your name has been glorified, that you have been lifted, because that's my desire and your desire, Lord, to glorify you as our heart. And I ask this now, in the precious name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for allowing me to be here today. And as we end now, I want you to go do something strange. Y'all into strange? Come on, you can do this. You can just speak life. Amen. Take care. We'll see you all next week. And Craig is going to lead us in.
Thanks for joining us this week. Make sure to visit our website, treeoflifeca.org, and be sure to subscribe to the show in iTunes, Google, Spotify, or via RSS so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you've found value in this show, we'd appreciate a ratings on iTunes, or simply tell a friend about the show. That would help us out too. If you like this show, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Tree of Life Messianic Jewish Congregation, to see more content, including our weekly live stream. Be sure to tune in for our next episode as we continue to explore our Jewish roots through Scripture.